I will say this, the theme song to this movie is better than the movie.
Yes, you even said it, like, movie started, and you're like, this movie doesn't deserve this music.
I did say
that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Soft Lips.
Soft Lips McGee. But you could call me Draco.
What do you got there, Blistex?
This is Blistex. It goes on my lips like this.
Well, I suppose for a dragon of your stature to put the, your lips must be awfully dry.
Indeed they are, Bowen. You breathe that fire all day, all night, your lips get chapped. And when you're kissing all them girls and drinking all that martini, all no, that martini
find,
there.
Find their maternal instinct.
When you're, when you're as old as me and all you do is breathe fire, kiss girls, and kill leagues of extraordinary gentlemen.
Guess you need that Blistex. Can't
and
settle
fuck
for any
the prom queen. You're busy with dry lips.
You, I can't help but face the fact that you left out Professor. Dr. Professor Indiana Senior.
Come here. That's for blasphemy.
What about even Forrester? Where's Forrester?
I'm still finding him. Hey! There he is.
All right. Well, I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Gus.
All right, Gus. On this podcast here, the podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies, we are...
The Movies.
The Movies. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Shake, shake.
We take a movie every week. We review that movie. It's usually a movie from the past that one of us may not have seen before. In this case, today's movie, we haven't seen in a long while since both of us were we. We take that movie, then discuss what works, discuss what doesn't, pros and cons, and that. We then submit that movie to the factory. That is where we take the movie, and we redesign it, rework it as if it were being made today. That being said, we change the director, we change the composer, maybe change the cast and crew, the actors and actresses involved. Afterward, we'll play a little game and see where we go from there. Sound good, everyone? Everyone good?
Yes.
Everyone on board?
They are, or else.
Yeah, or else.
I'll hunt you down and gut you like a fish.
If you'd like to fax me, press a stocky. So, what did we watch today?
Well, tonight.
Tonight, today, and...
We watched...
Time is relevant.
We watched...
To the stars.
We watched the 1996...
Epic.
Epic classic Dennis Quaid picture.
Fuck.
Dragonheart.
Which, yes. You know, I had memories of this film from growing up. I knew a lot of it. I don't know, when I was younger, I don't know if it was for you, but I think you always use this term. You say that the movie scared you when you were little, or certain movies we've watched, and you were like, that used to scare me when I was a kid. For me, I had, like, a different, like, there were movies that scared me, and then there were movies that, like, made me feel, like, weird, like, I didn't feel right. What's that movie? Lord of the Flies. Like, that movie didn't scare me, but it didn't... Yeah, you get what I mean by, like, doesn't make me feel right. And there was, for whatever reason, this movie always, like, threw me off. And I think it was, like, the starting scene where the young prince is stabbed through the heart, and it's, like, cringy, and it's like, ugh. Yeah. Even you were like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So, like, I had some, like, different memories of the film. Like, it wasn't a film that I grew up with, and I was like, oh, I love Dragonheart. I can't wait to watch it again. This was my favorite. It was more of, like, a movie that we watched a lot when we were younger, but I don't really know why.
I was just going to say, like, I remember it being a lot better than it actually was. But, I haven't seen it since
It has to have at least been 20 years for me.
Really?
Maybe. I mean, well, that, I don't know.
That's a long time.
I mean, it came out 22 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm only 23, and I've probably seen it within the last 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Last time I watched, I know, is on VHS. So.
Well, yeah, that's the only way to watch it, except if you're renting it on Vudu like we did. Yeah. But, I digress.
Now, I have I had some nostalgic feels for certain parts of this movie. And looking back on it now, or not even looking back on it, just watching it today, I mean, Draco, the dragon, he's all CGI. 1996 CGI. I'd say it's not bad.
No. It was like close up. That was when it was a little more, like when it was like far off and in the distance. I mean, there is an epic shot in this movie. It's the cover of the movie where like Bones on horseback, main character on horseback, and the dragon comes up and the sun's setting. Like that's a cool shot. There's some good moments.
There's some good stuff like that. I mean, some of the visual effects are better than some shit we see today, which is a positive. You know what? I was watching it, and I'm like, I think this is going to be our first podcast where we can actually say things we didn't really like about it, because we don't really hit on that too much.
We definitely did in Mario, the first episode.
Well, you know, we're easy to please. At least I am. I like pretty much everything.
But we chose a movie with one of my least, actually probably my least favorite actor of all time.
No redeeming qualities?
No redeeming qualities for old Dennis Quaid.
Now, you have a deep-seated...
I guess the only redeeming characteristic for him is that his brother is Randy Quaid.
What about his other redeeming characteristic, his hair in this movie?
He's just bad. He's so bad. I think the last time I did watch this movie, I got to the very beginning part where like he comes in, he's like, "Dragon, you lied to me!" And I was like, yeah. Eject.
So this didn't redeem anything for you?
Not
for
really.
D. Quaid.
I just don't think he's that good.
I was going to ask you, what, because you've been ranting about this for years, you have a hatred for Dennis Quaid. Why?
He's not good in anything. Tell me a movie he's good in.
The Rookie.
No.
Dragonheart.
Nope.
What else is he in?
Exactly. G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. He's good in G.I. Joe.
I don't know. Maybe it's just his face.
You just don't like that.
Cheaper Brother Dozen? Is he in that? Or no, he's in Yours, Mine, and Ours.
Yours, Mine, His, and Ours, and That.
With Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Oh, what about Jaws 3 now?
Fuck. I watched Jaws 3. He's so young in that movie. And I was like looking at him like, is that Dennis Quaid? And it is. And he's terrible. Because Jaws 3 is terrible.
I got a good Dennis Quaid movie.
I can beat that.
Yeah.
I got that beat.
Day After Tomorrow. That's a good one. It's a fun one.
Is that Justin Long?
No, it's Ask Me Another Day. The fucking
guy that
Donnie Darko.
Guy Jake Gyllenhaal. Nah.
That's good.
Nah.
What about Any Given Sunday? Classic.
Who's he in Any Given Sunday? There's Pacino.
Jack Cap Rooney.
I don't remember who he plays, because I remember James Woods is a real dick in that movie.
Yeah.
And like LL Cool J, I think, is in that movie.
Let's see here. Old D. Quaid, baby.
D. Quaid's not good.
Ah, Battle for Terror.
you're helping me.
G.I. Joe. Legion. He's in Footloose, the remake.
Does he play Kevin Bacon's character?
No. He probably plays like John Lithgow's character.
Oh, well. All right. Well, regardless, I don't like Dennis Quaid. We'll just air that out here early on in the episode. Not a big fan of old D. Quaid. I don't really know why. I don't know when it started. I just do not like Dennis Quaid because he's bad in everything.
As soon as it started, we were watching this with the old roommate there, and he didn't last very long. He left. He did the old Matthew goodbye, and he just left. But as soon as it started, him and I looked at each other like, because Dennis Quaid's pretty bad.
Yeah. He's not good.
Like, I'll teach you the ways of the sword.
Yeah.
Like, where are you?
You're from? Like ancient England, American.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie, throughout the film, I felt I couldn't get a, grasp. Like, the beginning of the film is kind of dark, right? It starts with him training this young prince, Dennis Quaid's Bowen, training, is it Heilman?
Sure.
The prince, Heilman. He's training him, and he's trying to teach him the old code, the knight's code, where everything was based on, like, chivalry, and you were to be...
honor.
Yeah, honor, and all that thing. All that nonsense.
Nonsense that's been lost through time.
Yeah. So he's training them, and another knight comes and basically tells them that the father, the king, is going to be putting down a rebellion. And so the boy wants to go and see his father's work. So they go, and basically the king gets trapped. It was really stupid. Like, yeah, the king just went off on his own. He, middle of a rebellion, king's like, fuck it, I'm going to burn a couple houses.
I got this.
Yeah, and he just left, and he got surrounded and beat to death.
You got me, guys.
Yeah, like, literally just went off. He had a whole army, decided to go off on his own.
He gets captured. They all grab him. He's like, it's a tie.
Yeah.
You got me. It's a tie. And they're like, ah, kill him.
Yeah, and they just beat the hell out of him. And they're like, wait, the battle's out there. And they just leave him there.
Shit.
But yeah, they probably could have won the battle right there if they just didn't kill the king. Like, they just held him hostage. There were a couple moments in the movie where I was like, there was ways around this.
Mm.
Yeah, so the boy rushes down to his father's aid, and you think you're going to have a touching Jango Fett, Boba Fett moment. Instead,
where he picks up the crown and his head falls off.
What's funny is I could have gone with a lot of other father-son death sequences. Like,
yeah, I know.
Like Lion King.
Wake up!
Boba Fett, Jango Fett.
The most touching of them all.
But, and he goes to take the crown away from his father, and his father grabs the arm and he says, die! It's mine!
Yeah.
And you're like, well, this kid's fucked.
Yeah. There's a lot of love there.
I see. And then a lovely young lady gets knocked off a stoop and kind of ends up pushing the young prince into a spear thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
It was a sharp pillar.
Yeah, and stabs him right in the heart. I'm like, someone should cork that. But
whoops.
In these times of rebellion,
yeah,
who knows?
That'll get you.
But yes, so the prince is dying. The king is dead. The queen decides that she's going to try one last option to take him to a dragon, because a dragon can give away part of its heart to a human and in turn help them to live forever. So they do it. Dragon's kind of introduced. The dragon says that it'll give him this heart if he will live by the old code, and he'll also, you know, make things safe again for dragons. And so we begin our movie.
The boy must swear.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and Sean Connery. Sir Sean Connery,
yes,
plays the voice of the dragon.
Yes. And that's probably, honestly, throughout the movie, like, everyone's plays their part. I'd say his is, like, he's perfect,
yeah,
as the dragon.
He is pretty good.
I don't know if it's just, like, his voice just tells me he's experienced. Like, and he's supposed to be this, like, dragon who's ages old and, mm-hmm, and very well-versed. And
it's that Scottish accent.
Yes, yes. So he's just really good.
He was very
throughout.
Good.
I
felt like, even though it's this fake creature, the CGI dragon, you know, that doesn't look the greatest by today's standards,
nah,
still looks fine. I still felt for that character.
It's the voice.
As a character.
He does a good job, even with his inflections. Like, mm-hmm, a lot of people, you'll say it all the time, like, voice acting is actually can be somewhat harder than real acting, because you're not going, like, face-to-face. You're not in-person acting, I mean. So voice acting, like, he's got no one to play off. He's just kind of going.
And those people, the actors in the film, they only have to act off of tennis balls on sticks.
Yeah. So,
like, this is where the dragon's going to be.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I was thinking there's a moment where he's named, the dragon is named, and he names him Draco. And he, like, you can sense the sincerity in Sean Connery's voice. Like, I'm honored.
I'm honored.
Yes.
Draco is the name of a dragon that had died in the past, and he did great deeds in his time, and he, in death, was able to ascend to the stars. Mm. That's where all great dragons go. And
yes.
So he's named after one of the great dragons.
And so basically then the young prince ends up
being
growing
a dick.
Up and being a dick. And Bowen decides that it's the dragon's heart that poisoned him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the boy. It was just an asshole to begin with and was just playing everyone's fiddle. He was instead just an asshole to begin with, and that now he is an immortal asshole.
Now, when you say asshole, what do you mean?
Well, what's the first bad deed he has? He has the person that led the rebellion be dragged to him, and they say something like, just kill me now, or something. He's like, no, this is meant to be a release, not death. And he gives them a metal
like
thing
a
that
hot,
he, yeah,
hot poker.
Yeah, hot poker that's like, been in the old.
Burn out the insulin. Yeah, the insolence in his eyes.
Yeah, and he's just going to shove this rod, hot rod, in his eyes.
We're not talking Roddy Piper.
No,
here.
No, sir. Not even Ronda Rousey.
not that kind of hot rod.
Nah, but he's going to basically have these torture going. He wants this castle to be built, which is going to have a lot of slave labor and
take many, many years to finish.
Yes. So, that's kind of, we see that he's like, he has this poison or tainting going on in his mind and his heart. He's not.
He's not who they thought he was.
He's kind of a sociopath, if you will.
A little bit.
Bowen decides that he's going to hunt down all the dragons because he blames the dragons. He's going to kill the dragon that did this to his son. He felt that, I'm guessing, he kind of felt that this boy, this prince, was his son because he was his teacher. In doing this, Bowen is led to a couple interesting people. He meets a monk who's going to herald his tale, and then he comes face-to-face with Draco.
Yes, so in between that vowing of killing the dragons and many years later, 12 years go by, Prince Dick, he grows up, and he's now king. He's big time King Dick, goes as far as to go full heel and kill that rebel leader all these years later. He's now blind. You can tell he finally got him with that hot poker.
Yeah.
He's
just old and pretty useless.
And get this little revelation. That old dude is the father of the girl that fell into the prince, which stabbed him, which
in turn made him immortal.
Yeah. And the girl grew up to be apparently the biggest babe in Middle Earth.
She's like walking up, like staring him down, walking up to him. He has that arrow.
He's like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and you're like, shut up. You've never seen someone this hot in your life.
Yeah. What are you doing? You're fooling yourself here, guy.
But yes.
So now this girl here, what's her name, Mira? She vows to now kill the king. There's a lot of vowing going on.
Yes.
A lot of vengeance.
Vengeance!
It blackens the heart and the head. You hit me, Dad. I'll never forgive myself. All right. Thank God. It's fake. She could tell from the cross section. What movie is that from?
It's Indiana Jones 3. Last Crusade.
There you go.
I was, for whatever reason, I almost, it was better than what I was almost
Kingdom
about to say. I was about to say, Indiana Jones and a goblet of fire.
What year is it? That's the fifth one that they're making.
Indiana Jones and the goblet of the Order Phoenix.
Where
this vengeance
let's
going
get
on.
Back, yeah.
She's gonna come after the king. Bowen meets up with this monk, and then he comes face to face with Draco, this dragon, and basically they have this big fight. It's weird because up until this point, the movie has felt very kind of heavy. There's kind of been like the beginning is really heavy. I felt, you know, people dying, rebellion. Prince almost dying. You see his like open heart wound.
Yeah. Yucko, sucko.
Yeah, and then you know he's gonna torture this old man, and he's killing people. So it's real heavy. Then this fight between Draco and Bowen happens, and it's so goofy, like tonally weird. Mm-hmm. Like Draco gets caught by Bowen with like a rope, and he's flying away.
Yikes!
Yikes! And Bowen's just like riding on the ground and getting hit with tree branches and ramming into trees, and as he's doing it, like, Draco's like, how are you enjoying the ride? It's like
spitting leaves and getting his nuts caught on ropes and
it's
shit.
It's just not tonally. It's really weird. It doesn't really fit. It doesn't seem. But that's kind of how the rest of the movie is. It's like really serious and dark, and then like awkward humor. I'll say like it's humor that doesn't feel like it
poke
fits.
In every now and then. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't that. Yeah, that was kind of weird. But they kind of come to the understanding that they can help each other because Draco's the last dragon, and Bowen needs money. So they can kind of help each other.
It's like, Bowen is a dragon slayer, so if he kills the last dragon, he needs to seek out a new trade. And if Draco's the last dragon, he dies, then he doesn't want to die. He fears it. Because he has a soul, and he feels... Well, we'll get to why a little bit. But it's kind of interesting. I actually found it impressive. It's the end of their fight. Draco goes to eat Bowen. Bowen raises his sword. So Bowen's inside the dragon's mouth, sword up in the roof of the mouth. It's like, if you close your mouth, my sword goes into your brain. And if your sword goes into brain, I close my mouth and you die. It's like they kill each other.
Yeah.
So that's where they come.
Mad. Mutually assured destruction.
So now they, they just come to this agreement. And then you find out what their agreement is.
Yeah.
So
basically, Bowen is going to go to villages, have Draco come in, destroy the village. Bowen will offer up his services. Draco will pretend to die, and he'll get paid, and they'll go on their merry way. And through this, they do it to a couple places, kind of a little quick montage. But you see that they're kind of kindling this friendship. Meanwhile, in the kingdom... Heilman has an attempted assassination by Mira, fails, and he kind of comes to a realization of who she is. He knows that she is the person that hurt him, that hurt his heart, gave him his dragon heart.
Hurt his heart.
he broke her. So he takes her basically to his chambers, and she stabs him, and that we see for the first time that in stabbing him, it affects Draco. Draco feels pain, so you know now that Draco is the same dragon. Mm-hmm. They're linked. Eventually, we just come to the next village. The Mira escapes the prison with the help of the mother, basically, their little scheme, the dragon scheme, doesn't work, right?
What's going on here? Oh,
Mira's like trying to start the rebellion again,
and Dragon shows up. Bowen's there to, you know, he looks like you need a dragon slayer. It'll cost you money, blah blah blah. And then this chick's causing trouble. They're like, dragon likes female sacrifices. So Draco swoops down, takes the girl, supposed to kill her. But he doesn't. He ends up singing to her. How's he sing?
He's a gentleman.
La, 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 la. I wish he was singing songs from like Darby O'Gill.
Whoa.
That old Disney movie with Sean Connery. I can't think of the songs.
That's one where he's just smiling off in the distance.
He's always smiling. now the chick's in on Bowen and Draco's scheme. And she tries to stop him. Convince the next town that they're in. He's in league with the dragon, and wouldn't you know it? Their little death scheme doesn't work in this town.
Lands head first in the mud.
Yeah, so the town kind of figures out that they can't have their dragon. They want that meat.
Yeah,
and they're not getting it, so they go after these people.
Yeah.
And Bowen, Mira, the friar, and Draco all head for the hills in a very exciting chase sequence.
Yeah.
I actually liked the action in this movie. Wasn't too bad. And now they're like a group, and they kind of decide that they need to form a proper rebellion and wage a...
Wage a war?
Wage a... I can't spit out the words.
War.
Rage a war.
Wage.
See, I can't do it.
Wage.
Wage
a war.
Bada. I would like to buy a bada.
You like went to say it again so confidently, and you're like, rage a war. See, I can't say it.
I can't say it. My brain said, fuck you.
My brain said, fuck a war. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I can't wage a war.
Hey, there's your one. Yeah. But yeah, so they do get this rebellion rolling. They decide that they're all for it because they got a dragon on their side. They can't lose with a dragon because obviously dragons can't be beaten since there's one left.
That's right.
That was another moment where like, that doesn't make much sense. So like dragons are indestructible. Can't be beaten. There's only one left.
Drake is badass.
He is.
You know, it's funny, like we skipped over this scene, but while we were watching the movie, I forgot about the scene. I still don't really remember it from being younger, but when Draco snatches everyone up and they make their retreat, they go to Avalon, the burial grounds of King Arthur.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where Bowen like rekindles his honor for the old code, because he thinks he's talking to a statue of King Arthur and he hears the voice. He hears the code being spoken back at him, and he repeats it with, like, you could just tell with this, like, respect and honor in his heart. He's repeating the old code, but it turns out it's actually Draco saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their moment together. And I think, is this is the scene, too, where he explains about the stars?
Yes.
And that's why he doesn't want to die, because he felt like if he gave his heart to this prince, and the prince grew up and honored the code, and he was able to bring peace to the lands, and it would unite man and dragon, then he would maybe be granted his place amongst the stars.
Yes.
But in doing so and giving his heart to this greedy boy, it was his greatest sin, and the prince grew up to be evil and
real douche.
Got to be a real douche.
But Jack Black was the voice of the dragon, but he was Nacho Libre's voice.
Well, let's hear it.
And he'd be like, coming at ya.
Oh man, but
do it.
Just him in that waterfall.
In the waterfall, when Bowen's fighting him for the first time, he's just like, hey, you don't want to dangle with me, go it. Can't let anyone see my face, Steven.
It's like tails going. That could be redubbed.
They're doing the rebellion, and he's like talking to Bowen. Bowen's like, we have to go, and he's just like, Bowie lost.
You've not been baptized. Now they go off to rage this war. Fuck, I can't say it. Wage this war.
Mm-hmm.
Cock me in the face. What? I don't know.
Cock me in the face.
It felt right. Wait, what?
Okay. All right.
I'll show you what it means later.
All right.
But anyway, the war begins, and Draco basically raids the castle there, blowing fire snot everywhere and tackling out all these. What are those turrets? Is that all it is? Is that what you call it, the big, or is it a ballast or something?
Ballista. That is the proper word.
Yeah. Taking all them out and that, and wrecking these fools in this castle.
Meanwhile, outside, there's a battle going on. They kind of get them trapped in the woods. They get the king's army trapped in the woods, and they're just Ewoking the fuck out of them. We kind of come to the realization that they're winning. They're beating the army, and Heilman's getting away, and the monk is a pretty good archer, turns out, and he ends up shooting a bow, an arrow, right in old Heilman's heart, but he just pulls it right out and smiles and rides away.
And Draco
falls from the sky. Yeah. So we come to this realization that Heilman is immortal.
Yeah,
he cannot truly die.
It's like Draco has like the life force.
Yes. So they decide they're going to storm the castle. Meanwhile, Draco has been chained up in the castle. He's being held captive, and he's going to be held captive for eternity. But
yikes.
The queen goes to kill Draco and in turn kill her son, but set everyone free, basically. But the son ends up taking her away, stopping her, and then killing her too. So that's nice.
Yep.
Family feature.
It's a family picture.
If your mother disagrees with you, kill her.
Yeah, apparently. You know what I found funny? That I didn't point out what we were watching, but like the mother walks into that like dark room, and then the son follows with like the spear.
Yeah.
He's not even in the doorway
yet.
Yeah,
there's a scream.
It's like, you hear like a... But he's like not even in there the whole way yet. Like, what's going on here?
It's a family picture.
Yeah. So now the war is kind of over.
But the battle's just begun.
This is just the beginning.
Yes.
So,
oh, if he was still alive.
Bowen's like, who's going to help me save Draco? And only Mira and the monk are going to go along with him.
Yes.
So they go on this rescue mission. And an epic fight continues between, how do you say his name?
Howlman.
I keep wanting to say heirloom, like the tomato.
Heirloom. You can't talk tonight, huh?
I can't.
Like heirloom, Rage Against the Machines.
Yeah. So they're having a big old sword battle. And it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Teacher and student.
The choreography throughout the fight was pretty great.
It was almost as epic as Anakin versus Obi-Wan.
Eh.
Not quite. But he did get the high ground and won because...
you call it the new men's high ground.
How do you say his name again?
Howlman?
Howlman.
Heirloom tomato?
He plummets hard.
Yes, he
about
does.
Like 200 feet. And old D. Quaid
still
thinks...
alive.
Yeah, old Dennis thinks it's all over. But Draco, in a panic... It's like, no, he still lives. And the only way to kill him is to kill me.
Yes.
We share a life force, we share the heart, but
yes.
I carry the life force. And he will remain immortal unless you kill me. And Bowen, he can't kill him.
Blast!
That's his...
Please!
Yeah, pretty much.
I will
kill
not
me,
get
please.
Into another financial debate with you, Dennis. I really will not.
And
you think this kind of what's he say? You think this kind of what's it called when something runs itself?
You're asking the wrong guy because I can't say words tonight.
You can't. I forget what he says. You think something like this runs
itself?
Or comes cheap?
Yeah. But it's getting heavy, and basically. Bowen's like, this is my friend. I can't kill you. You're my friend. He's like, but please, it's the only way. And wouldn't you know it, old heirloom, he comes out of the water.
Old Hyman.
Hyman. He comes out of the water.
He's
and
looking real busted.
Yeah, and he's got Mira with the old sword up to the throat, and Draco kind of like
bites
his own hand and hurts Hyman, and girl
you
gets free.
You gotta imagine like. Did his, like, the roof of his mouth just hurt really bad for the whole day that they were just stabbing each other?
They don't show him that day.
Yeah, he was just stabbing Draco in the roof of his mouth with a sword the entire day.
If it
would
have cut to him, he would have been like,
I feel like I have pain.
Holy shit. But then old Hyman, he's charging at Bowen. Bowen grabs the axe. Draco, it's all silent. Draco stands up, lifts his scale, shows the heart.
Yeah, the heartbeat was going, yeah.
And, yeah, Bowen throws the axe, kills his friend, kills the king. And there's peace.
Yes, and I'll let you finish here with the finale here that made you cry. but that, in my head, this is one of those moments where I was like, this could have been avoided because – he's like, as long as he lives, you know, yada, yada, yada. Why didn't they just, like, cut off his arms? Cut off his arms and his legs. Chain him up forever. Like, Draco didn't have to die. Dennis Quaid, Bowen, says, like, we've won. We've taken the castle. We literally took the kingdom. We have it. It's ours. Mm. Just lock him up forever. Bury him in cement. Like, do something. You don't have to kill him. Like, you just have to keep him alive, but somewhere else, and Draco can live forever.
Yeah, it's then there's no
it's
ending.
It's not about that, yeah. but still, in my head, I'm like, we could have avoided this. Like, just chop his arms
it's
off
the
or some
fact
shit.
That it's like, I don't know how to say this without being, like, uber cruel. I mean, even though this guy was a dickhead.
He deserved death.
Yeah, it's like he should not have lived when he was younger. Like, he was the mistake. to be kept alive. He did all these cruel things, and it's just like Draco said, it's his sin.
Yeah.
And he needs to like be resolved of his sin, and the only way is that to do that is to is death. With life, there needs to be death. Balance, I guess. So, will you ring in? Well, I got to ring in the finale because it got me good.
Yeah, it did. I turned around. It was the best laugh of the whole movie. I turned around and you were crying. I'm like, did I get you? And you're like, yeah.
You're laughing because it got me. So, everyone gathers around, all the villagers, and there's peace and
peace.
Bowen goes to his now dead friend and he says, what now? What do we do without you? Where do we turn? And Draco's body dissolves into stardust. And
my stardust
says, to the stars. And that music.
That music was phenomenal. If you've never seen this movie, and from our little review here, you're like, I don't feel like watching this movie. Listen to the theme. Listen to the Dragonheart theme. It's worth it. It stands on its
own. The theme song to this movie is better than the movie.
Yes. You even said it. Like, movie started, and you're like, this movie doesn't deserve this music.
I did say that.
Like, right away.
It doesn't deserve this theme song.
You're like, I haven't seen this movie in 20 years. It doesn't deserve it. It's my name.
Yeah. I was listening to this theme song while I was driving around today because I knew we were going to watch this tonight, and I'm just listening to it. I'm just like, it's so good. It swells with emotion. And
that's probably the best part of the whole movie is the end.
Is like, the
very end is like, it's good.
Yeah,
it's
Draco's really good. Turns to stardust, floats to the sky. He is granted passage into the, you know, he's one of the great dragons, and he becomes part of the star constellation.
Yes, and there's like a big explosion, and the music's going off. It's like you're watching the Big Bang happening. And then the new constellation appears of the dragon, and then you see a little glimmer where he is, and you know he's still there.
Yeah.
And Bowen has like a little grin on his face because he knows his friend's not gone forever.
And they said, what is it? It's like if we ever were faced with trials and we didn't know where to turn, we just knew to look up. And Draco's star would be shining the brightest. And goes to credits and goes to me bawling my face off. I don't know why I told you. I was like, that movie wasn't very good, but damn it, I cried.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know. You might have put the finger on it. I was like, why wasn't this movie good? Because it has a good story, pretty good action, semi-decent special effects. It's just... I don't know. What do you think it is?
I think it's like
the tone
is
jumps
really
all
off.
Over the place. Some of the writing's
really
also
off. Some of the writing's not the best. I think casting was a little off in certain areas.
Dennis Quaid,
but even like I didn't like the king that well. The actor who portrayed the king, old Lupin.
Remus.
Remus.
How do you say his name? David Thewlis? Thewlis?
Yeah, I didn't really like him. Like, I would have rather Jason Isaacs play him.
Yeah.
Like, Jason Isaacs is
in this
picture.
Why didn't you like him?
He was, like, almost unbelievable as a king to me. Like, this scrawny douchebag, like,
he was doing kip-ups and...
Yeah.
And
but it was
fighting
like,
sword play.
But
like,
he, like, seemed
no
too,
other
like, goofy. Like, I couldn't see someone, like, actually willingly following him just because they had to. Like, I'm
but
like...
he's immortal. He's got the heart of a dragon.
This bitch is getting usurped. Like, it's happening. Like, so I just... I don't know. Like, I thought some of the casting was a little off. Like, I liked... Monk was great, and...
he's always great.
Yeah, he is good and everything. Like I said, Sean Connery being cast is perfect.
I mean, and the girl who played Mira, she was just all right. I mean, there was nothing fancy about her, but I mean, she wasn't bad either.
No.
I don't know.
All in all,
it was okay movie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'd like. I'm sure I'll watch it someday. I'll watch it in another 10 years and be like, I forget what that movie's about. But it was part of our childhood. I think it's a movie that we'll always somehow come back to.
I say, if you're really curious, watch this movie for the dragon, Draco,
yeah.
Sean Connery, and for the music. Or yeah. At least the theme song.
Yeah, theme song's fantastic. But, yeah, he really is good. And that ending, I mean, the ending is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you even said, like, you know, like, the movie's not that good, but it got me at the end because it's
emotional.
Probably because
the ending got me, yeah. It's the Draco. It's his story arc and then the writing for him. It was good.
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting. It's very fun. His when the moments he's in, when it's not him, mm-hmm. it's kind of boring Blah. Almost. Yeah.
And he's only in it for 23 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. So making this movie was such a task. It took 5.5 months to film the movie, and it was 15 months of post-production. So after they wrapped filming, it took another year and almost
all that CGI.
Yeah, 'cause all the CGI to do 23 minutes of Draco.
Now they're like, Thanos, put him in.
Yeah, takes like a week. Yeah, this movie itself was...
1 hour and 47 minutes
long. Well, I was going to say they were in production of it for roughly 10 years. Not for like what we got, but when they were getting started, like this director, this star, and they drop out because it just wasn't working out. Originally, it was going to be Jim Henson, you know, creatures, you know, like actual, like, physical Draco.
Yeah.
Like, puppeteered. Which
probably would have looked better.
Maybe. It just wasn't working out the way they wanted, so they ditched that idea. And then they were going to do something more, like, just with, like, a giant animatronic thing. That wasn't working out either. And it wasn't until Jurassic Park came out that they realized this could be a possibility, having CGI creatures like that. But to that point, they hadn't done anything as grand as Dragonheart, whereas a giant dragon CGI creature that talked and had emotions and expressions and something you could care for in that way. So it was a big undertaking. They gave it to Rob Cohen. He hadn't really directed too much of, you know, note before this film. He did Dragon, a Bruce Lee story prior to this, and a couple other things. Since Dragonheart, he went on to make
The Mummy,
Fast and the Furious, the first one.
Well, he was a producer on The Running Man.
Yeah, he made some shit movies too, like Stealth and Hurricane Heist.
That movie just came out a little bit ago.
Yeah, garbage. But yeah. who originally, the original choice to play Bowen was Liam Neeson.
Oh, my.
Well, at the time, in 1994, when they were like getting ready to start filming, they didn't see Liam Neeson as an action star.
And they are lost.
They saw him as Oscar Schindler or something.
Loose, for God's sake.
Not yet. So they passed on him, and they're like, well, if we can't get Liam Neeson, how about Dennis Quaid?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Well, who would you cast as Bowen?
Why don't we go ahead and get started into the old factory here? I was doing a little research. So in this part of the podcast, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That is where we take this film and we're going to replace our director, our composer, and the actors and actresses involved. In the case of this film today, I'm going to say we're going to change up. If the movie was being made today, who would direct it, compose it, and be, let's recast Draco, Bowen, Mira, and Heilman.
Say them one more time.
Draco, Bowen, Mira, Heilman.
Okay.
Okay. So first things first, making a new movie today, the CGI will be 10 times better. Who are you casting as your director?
Who am I casting as my director?
Yeah.
I am going with my boy Kenneth Branagh.
Who is...
Gilderoy Lockhart himself.
Is he good?
Yeah, he's a good director too.
I believe what you meant to say was, fuck. What was I thinking of?
Pero.
To be or not to be.
Yeah, like Hamlet.
Hamlet! Yeah. I kept going to Hannibal. I'm like, that's not right.
Hamlet himself. Yeah, yes. He directed Hamlet, and he starred in it, too. He directed Mary Shelley's Frankenstein with old Bob De Niro. Hold on now. We got some crazy storms going.
Those fireworks or those thunders?
That's thunder. That's...
Fire and flames.
Yep, Crazy Storm. But yeah, he directed that Hamlet action. He did Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. He did.
I didn't know he was a director.
Yeah, how about this? He directed Thor, 2011 Thor.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Macbeth, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit,
Fuck.
Cinderella.
Sign me up.
Murder on the Orient Express, and he's going to be directing Artemis Fowl.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
But a great Shakespearean actor.
I believe when you say that, you have to say actor.
And, yeah, I just like his style. I like all his movies he's directed, pretty much. And, yeah, I saw Dragonheart, and I was like, Thor.
See, now, I saw Dragonheart, and I thought of a different movie. Thought of a different movie that you kind of alluded to a little bit ago. I know of one man that has done a very successful job at not only bringing in this old-timey, as you said, Middle-Earth-esque feel, or even bring in a dragon, and that is Mr. Peter Jackson himself. Who else to give $1 billion and say, make this movie?
He's like, I can do it, but it has to be three parts.
Yeah, it's got to be three parts, each one 3 hours long, please. But yeah, so I'm giving it to Peter Jackson, obviously the highly acclaimed director of
Oscar winning.
Yeah, Oscar director. Winning of Lord of the Rings trilogy, as well as The Hobbit, which is less well received. I'm not a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Choke yourself.
Yeah, I know. I enjoy them. I don't know. They never clicked with me. However, also directed King Kong. He has his own little style, and he's very like, he can take a tale and make it super. I mean, who could take King Kong and he turns it into like a 3-hour masterpiece epic? Like, it's boring in certain parts. But yeah, so I think Peter Jackson would do a great job. Plus, you know, he's worked with a dragon now in two movies.
That's right.
So he's got Smaug under his belt.
And yeah, you can't fuck with Smaug.
No, you can't. So what do you think? You want to flip for it, or you just going to yield?
For Dragonheart?
Dragonheart. Dragonheart, you even said you're like Middle Earth. Walking across Middle Earth. He'll throw some fucking orcs in there and like...
But Kenneth Branagh would bring some panass to it.
We don't want panass. We want epic. That's what I'm thinking. If we're going to do this remake right, we need to choose a tone and stick with it.
Yeah.
We need to choose a tone and stick with it. So are we going serious drama, maybe a little lighthearted moments here and there, but not goofy?
About this? We'll go with Peter Jackson because he's at least made a movie that's made me emotional.
Thor didn't make you emotional? When Kenneth Thor gets his hammer back for the first time? This coffee. I like it. I require another.
I was like...
All right. Well, then
any one of those Lord of the Rings movies gets me weepy.
All righty. Well, then we'll go with Peter Jackson as director of our Dragonheart remake. What about our composer?
Who do you got, guy?
Well, I wanted to go with Howard Shore because we discussed him earlier.
That's who I'm picking.
Howard Shore just ties to Peter Jackson music for all three of the Lord of the Rings movies. Hobbit as well, correct?
All six. Yeah, the whole saga.
Yeah, and his music's just like... Concerning a Hobbit?
Concerning Hobbits.
Yeah, fantastic. Like, I love that. I love the... is it the March of Saruman? Is the...
Yeah, it's either that or it's...
Saruman.
Isengard.
Yeah.
That's Isengard.
It's, just all the music in that. That's, like, one of the things that I've always loved. Like, I've never really... like, found myself, like, I never get into a mood where I'm like, I want to watch Lord of the Rings. It's always like, I want to watch Star Wars, or I want to watch superhero movies. Mm-hmm. But any time that I have watched them, the music is always just phenomenal. And Howard Shore does a great job. But what other movies does Howard Shore do?
Some that I know that are good was, like, Hugo. That was a good little ditty he had in there. Music in The Departed is good. Music in The Aviator. Did you ever see The Aviator?
No.
Ugh. With Leo DiCaprio. Martin Scorsese film, great music.
I haven't seen many Martin Scorsese films.
Yeah, great music in that. What else has he done? I just saw one. Oh, Seven. Ed Wood. Kind of whoopy music in Ed Wood, which is good. Mrs. Doubtfire has nice, lovely tones in that.
But I mean, really, even when explaining why we want him, we don't even have to go past The Hobbit, like it, or Lord of the Rings. Like, it just matches that style. Originally, when I was kind of deciding, I was thinking about going with the composer of Game of Thrones. But I just feel that I don't really know Game of Thrones, but I know Howard Shore's music, and I think that he would do a good job as it. So you go with Howard Shore then?
That was my pick.
So we got Pete Jackson and Howard Shore then.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Draco, Bowen, Mira, and Heilman. Who you want to cast first?
I want to save Draco for last.
Okay. So Mira or Heilman?
Let's go Heilman.
Okay, Heilman.
So I think you and I are also in agreement.
Spoiled king. Who do you got?
I'm going with Stephen Hawking himself, Eddie Redmayne, the Oscar-winning Eddie Redmayne. Just going based off of the character we saw in this movie, I know you said during our pod tonight that you felt like that character should have had different characteristics.
Yes.
But I was like, watching this little scrawny little dweeb being king, who better than Eddie Redmayne? Who do you play? Marius. How about my boy Marius? In fucking Les Mis.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my friends, forgive me.
He's fucking Newt and yes. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
True.
So, yeah, good pull right there. I don't think you can beat that.
I might be able to.
You're the one who had the idea originally. I was like, that's good pull.
Yeah, it is, but I think I have a maybe better one. So I'm going to go with a guy that's good at playing a spoiled little bitty.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes. and he's believable as someone in control. He's shown it before. And mainly just for the line, I want him to be able to say, I want you to blow that dragon out of the sky!
Oh,
I want
shit.
Adam Driver.
That's not bad either.
Adam Driver, obviously, as Kylo Ren has proven that he has the chops to be a spoiled little brat, but also be in power. And be just ruthless in a sense. You're nothing. You're no one. But not to me. He's got that delivery. He's got the acting chops. And I think he would bring that. He'd bring the believability to someone that can be in power, but also be just spoiled and almost naive and young at the same time.
Hey, my boy did all that as an evil ruler in Jupiter Ascending. Where he plays the villain, Jupiter Ascending, talks like this the whole time.
That movie was dick for shit.
Well, I didn't even see.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That was dick for shit.
but yes, so Adam Driver is my pick. Eddie Redmayne's yours. What do you want to do about it?
I want to flip a coin for that one.
Flip a coin for it. So heads, Adam Driver. Tails, Eddie Redmayne. Tails, Eddie Redmayne.
All right. That would have been a good pull, though, Adam Driver.
Yeah. I wanted him to say that. Blow that dragon out of the sky.
All
right. He'd be like, that heart, it belongs to me.
Yeah, right.
All right, next up, Mira.
Mira Kunis.
Yes, so you got...
I'm going with... I lost her name for a minute. Elizabeth Olsen.
Okay.
Just because she's rocked some of that action movie stuff and all them Avengers movies, as well as dipped her hand... Even though she didn't partake in the action so much, that Godzilla franchise, she's been around some lizards, you know what I'm saying? And I was kind of watching this movie, and like I said, her character isn't exactly the most pivotal or exciting. She's kind of there, but as far as this goes, why not old Lizzie baby?
I already won. Bryce Dallas Howard. No. But I think I did Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan?
Yeah.
Write her down.
You want to explain her because she is your girlfriend.
So my girlfriend Saoirse Ronan, she's been doing very well for herself.
Yes.
She's been nominated for a couple Oscars. Hopefully she'll get nominated next year as well, or this year. And for playing Mary Queen of Scots, she's Lady Bird, and she's in Atonement, where she got nominated for her first Oscar at the ripe old age of 13, I think. She's my favorite actress working today, and she's my girlfriend. So
well, there you go. So she's your pick.
Love you, babe.
We'll go with Sasha Ren.
Don't tell Becky.
I was going to say, Scottish redheads. Yeah. That's your thing, huh?
Or Irish.
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 Okay. Here we go.
Oish. Right.
Well, next up, then, we got Saoirse Ronan playing Mira. What about Bowen?
Bowen.
Yes, our D. Quaid himself.
I wanted someone badass. I wanted someone who's actually English. And I'm going with Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Do you think, I want to know your thoughts on this. Do you think that he has the
stones to play
him.
Bowen?
Nah, I love him as an actor, but I don't know. Like, I've only seen him almost as like one or two characters, like someone that doesn't talk or someone who talks, but they're muffled. Yeah, it makes a lot of grunts.
He'd walk in like with his like Tom Hardy bauble.
Yeah.
Yes.
He has that New York accent. He played Eddie Brock in this one.
Yeah. We don't kill people.
Yeah. Honor the code.
Well, he'd go up to Draco and be like, butter my ass!
Yeah.
From like Bronson or something. Have you seen Bronson?
Yeah, I have, and he's fantastic.
He's about to flip this table if
yeah,
you didn't.
He's fantastic. And
what if he had a mustache like he does in Bronson?
I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, this character needs like a beard or some shit.
He did have a beard.
Yeah, it was a Dennis Quaid beard.
He needed a great big bushy beard.
Yes, I almost was like Kurt Russell, but I don't know.
Maybe back in the day.
Kurt Russell would be like, listen here, dragon. I don't take any orders from you.
He's just a little too old nowadays.
Yes, that was honestly why I ended up not picking him. However, I did go with a British man myself. I think he's British. He might be Scottish. He might be Irish.
Well, I might be able to help you out, maybe.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan? He's Irish.
Irish.
Yeah.
All right. Ewan is my pick for this. He's obviously shown his chops as a knight, as Obi-Wan. He was a Jedi knight.
Obi-Wan?
Obi-Wan. James Wan. Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wonder if he means old Obi-Wan Kenobi. yes, Ewan McGregor, phenomenal actor. One of my favorite actors, I think, in Hollywood. Very undercast, I feel. I feel he's good in like everything he's in. Ewan is my pick.
Just one night. Just one night.
Is that
Moulin
Rouge?
Yeah.
yes, Ewan. Ewan McGregor as that. I think he'd be able to pull off the roles well, and obviously he can make
he's
any.
He's actually Scottish.
He can make any set of dialogue work.
That's right. He could.
So what say you? How feel you?
I'd go with Ewan just because I want him to have long hair and a beard again.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that will teach people. They'll be like, all right, let's just make this Obi-Wan movie while he's here. Yeah. All righty. Well, next up then we got our Draco.
Draco Malfoy.
Yes.
How about Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, well, what? No. Listen here. I'm the last of my kind. I don't take kindly to dragon hunters.
You see that moon? You see the moon?
You want me to rope that moon? Bring down the stars with it? I'll just eat you up. Blow a little fire on you, give a piece of my heart, and call it even.
Pull up some cushion.
Hope you like it well done, Bowen.
Ouch. That one hurt. You know who... Ah, damn it. I should have said Tobey Maguire as the king. as Hyman.
They're like hatching their plan on how he's going to make money using the dragon. He's like, piece of time.
Whoa.
They just start delivering pizzas.
My nipples just got hard. Now for it was funny because I had my pick. It was a little different than what I think yours might be. Michael Caine. No, I'm kidding.
Numby game.
You see the stars up there.
Morgan Freeman.
Now I'm going with Liam Neeson.
Okay.
I actually had him picked before I even found out that he was considered for the role of Bowen.
Yeah.
But I wanted someone like you said earlier, like has that maybe some experience in his voice. Yeah. But is also, you know, he's got that Irish accent and you just believe that he has wisdom and he's from an older time, maybe.
Yeah, I like that pick.
The dragons.
My pick would be interesting. My pick would be interesting because it's
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
Pain.
Pauly Shore.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know.
Head body.
What about like Arnold? Like, well, he's still stuck on I was waiting for you to go on. But yeah, mine.
Bowen, come here. You have to kill me. Come on, right here. Bit me in the heart with the axe. Come on.
The only problem with mine is, see, like yours has some resemblance to Sean Connery, right? Because Sean Connery has, obviously, he's Scottish, right?
Well, Liam Neeson's Irish.
Yeah, Liam Neeson's Irish. But like they have like that type of accent. The person I'm going with has a very distinct voice. They'll have that experience. You see those stars up there?
Oh, no, you're lying.
So that's just Stallone in that? You picture that?
I'm trying not to.
To the stars, boy.
I wouldn't be able to take it this to the next level.
Yikes. That sword goes through my head, my jaws go through your face. I'm the last of my kind.
So am me.
Yeah. I'm a fighter. I'm a dragon. That's what I do, Bowen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you serious?
A little. You're kind of hurting my feelings. I thought it might have been an interesting pull.
It certainly is.
I mean, we said it was a family picture.
He's done some voiceover work in Ants.
Yeah, he was the big ant.
You said he didn't matter.
Yeah, he didn't. He did. V.
Yeah, Z.
Z. Yeah. I was a couple letters off.
That would be a Stallone thing to say.
Like, I'm not punchy. I can read. I have trouble sometimes, you know. It would have been better. Like, have you ever done that where you say something and you're like, oh, it was a good joke, but it would have been better if I said it a different way? Like, it would have been better if you said, like, I said X or V, and you're like, Z. And I was like, it's a couple numbers up. It would have been better. I didn't say it. Like, numbers, not letters. Damn it.
God, that's good. I mean.
Hey, I'm just saying. Give a little speech. Maybe we'll fight a little bit, box a little bit, see where we go from there.
Like having someone with experience, someone who you could believe is from the old world.
I said that was the issue. I said he's got the experience in his voice.
Yeah, the experience in the ring, you know.
I've been around the ring, I've been around the world, I know what I'm doing. My wife died. My best friend's gone. I tried to buy him another watch. Pauly, she left. Died.
Everything always leaves and I'm here.
Yeah, listen, kid. Listen, I didn't see Creed 2. But here we are.
So
I'm just saying, like,
I guess I'll flip
prince,
you for it.
The prince might be Spider Rico. We don't know.
I guess I'll flip you for it.
You're not even going to just keep fighting for Liam Neeson. You're like,
I mean,
you're like, fuck it. This might be fun.
Yeah,
like,
it might be. It might be interesting.
It might be interesting. Dragon played by Liam Neeson might be. I just want to mainly hear like him breathe fire, like when Sean Connery would be like, hurrah! And then Sylvester Stallone would be like,
I just got a vision of in the Imagination Land of South Park episode. Wait, the Imagination episode. Fuck my face off. What am I trying to say? Jeez. The Imagination Land episode.
Imagination.
South Park.
Imagination. Imagination.
But Drake is he's like, quickly, boys, hop on my back. I just killed
what
me.
If we
I
had
first time I saw that.
What if we had Draco, but he had Sylvester Stallone's hair?
Look at his face.
Like, all right.
What if it was Macho Man Randy Savage?
Ooh, yeah.
Like in that Skyrim mod.
You're like, I'm going to tell you something, Yaman. You better swear on your life.
Shit, I'm done.
All right.
That's good.
Can we have Ultimate Warrior do it?
Whoa. Just blow up.
All right. Well, head Sly Stallone, tails Liam Neeson's.
All right.
Heads Sly Stallone. Right. Hey, just saying, Last of the Dragons, got to it. Liam Neeson was here. He died. He was the one you killed before you met me, the girl.
What are you talking about?
Well, when Bowen meets Drago, you saw, like, he killed the dragon right before. Like, the scene before he killed the dragon.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. So that was...
That was that one.
That was Liam Neeson, yeah. You know what's funny is, like, Drago is Latin for dragon. Drago is Russian for dragon. So I'm just saying, I've fought him before. I can do it again. I've beaten a dragon. I can be a dragon.
I can't.
So I'm here.
My mouth hurts. Laughing.
All right. Well, there's our movie. We got Peter Jackson directing the film, composed by Howard Shore. Our King, played by Eddie Redmayne. Mira, played by Saoirse Ronan. Bowen, played by Ewan McGregor. And Draco is alone. So here we are.
Sean Connery's even like, shit.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have retired.
Oh, my God. That about...
And that means, like,
that
they're
going to... does it.
They'll recast Indiana Jones. And then in the next, like, Indiana Jones movie, they'll bring in his dad. And they'll be Sylvester Stallone and be like, listen to me, son.
Listen here, Junior.
You need to learn how to box first. Use that fancy whip of yours. Bullshit. What do? Study? You're supposed to fight. You're not supposed to be smart. I didn't know how to learn until I was 32.
Wait, what did you say?
I didn't know how to learn. I thought I was going for reading, but I knew how to read. I told you, I'm not punchy. I just get confused.
I thought you said, I didn't learn how to learn.
I didn't know. I don't really know. I'd taken a lot of hits to the head, you know.
Well, before you interrupt...
Should have broke your thumbs.
Before you interrupted my excellent lead into the end, that about does it. Wraps her all up.
Sam Elliott?
Yeah, from Big Lebowski.
Was it your week for a question or my week?
It's yours.
My week for a question.
I did the Kurt Russell in any children's film.
All right,
Spanky Plissken.
Yep, let's go ahead and ask you this then. So, rumor has it that a new James Bond is upon us, right? Daniel Craig is on his last film here, and we are recasting a new one. If you could have an actor in their youth, any age, play James Bond, an actor, actress even, I don't care, any age, who would it be? Like, you can take, like, Charlie Chaplin could be your James Bond. I'm saying, like, any era in their prime. You can take them from now and put them in their prime. Any age. James Bond.
If it was being made today, like,
yes.
I suck them out of time,
yes.
Almost.
Yes.
Damn, that's tough to be put on the spot for that. Any age. It can't be someone who's already played them.
And can't be someone that's already in talks. Like Idris Elba, throw him out. Tom Hiddleston, throw him out. Your pick from Goldfinger, throw him out.
Yeah, old Henry Cavill, yeah, with his mustache.
Tom Hardy, throw him out. I know who I'd get.
Old Jimmy Bond.
Jimmy Stewart, he knows how to fuck people up. Walk right up to him, punch him in the throat. They won't even know I was there.
Oh, shit.
That's throw Don Knotts!
Well, I'm trying to think English. Like, stay in the roots. You know? That's tough. You got me curious. Fuck. That's tough. I don't know why my brain keeps going there.
Who you want? Who are you thinking?
Well, this isn't who I want, but I'll spit it out. Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers?
Yeah.
Like Lawrence of Arabia.
No. Peter Sellers is like the original Jacques Clouseau. He's in Dr. Strangelove, multiple roles, Oscar-nominated actor. He has played James Bond, sort of, in the 1967 Casino Royale, that comedy movie.
Yeah.
He plays James Bond in that. I don't know why my brain's going there, though. I say this guy's name all the fucking time. But you know who'd been a good James Bond? It was Christian Bale.
Hmm?
He would have been a good James Bond.
Yes.
Hugh Jackman would have been
a good James Bond.
Nah, I don't see Ewan as being...
Gary Oldman.
Liam Neeson was once in talks to be James Bond.
Jude Law.
No.
Oh, Michael Caine.
I thought of that, too.
Anthony Hopkins.
No. No, I would never
Colin Firth.
No, he's kind of Bond now. Eggsy, you know. He's not Eggsy, but...
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Because he would become James Bond. He'd kill people.
He'd be a spy.
Yeah, he'd kill people. Hugh Laurie. House.
Whoa.
Roadhouse.
Yeah. You looking up English actors for me?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I've said that in the past. I've said, like, I think after I was, like, real into Sherlock, I was like, I kind of like him. He looks like a little happy otter, but he'd be James Bond.
Happy otter. What if we went full circle and we went for England James and we went Sean Bean as James Bond?
Dude,
I mean, he would. But the only problem is it would end after one movie because he'd die.
Yeah. I'll go Christian Bale from Equilibrium.
Okay.
There we go.
I'll go Christian Bale from The Machinist. They'll do you one better.
Yeah.
Fight me. He's undercover. But yeah, I'm game with Christian Bale. I like Christian Bale. So
who do you have?
Jimmy
Stewart. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Yeah.
I mean, we could go with someone like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I thought about like a Cary Grant, you know, someone else of that era.
Who was
maybe Humphrey Bogart. Peter O'Toole.
Yeah, nice blue eyes.
I got it. He's American, but Charlton Heston is James Bond.
That scene from Planet of the Apes is haunting. Like, nothing scarier than when he just starts laughing for no reason. Space madness.
Now he plants the little flag in the new the American flag in the new discovered planet. He's like,
yeah, maniacal as fuck.
Shit, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right, kiddos. All right.
Well, that is the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard from us, be sure to go over and follow us on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. We use that to kind of send out a message, let you know what we're going to be watching for the week, let you know when new episodes drop, maybe ask a few questions here and there. We also retweet a lot of great other podcasts. Be sure to give those listens if they come across your airwaves. Also, we did start a new Facebook page. Do you want to hit up with that a little bit?
Yeah, hop on that Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. Give us a like and check us out on there. If you're not a Twitter user, you can find us on the Facebook. See what we're up to, what movies we're going to be watching and at.
Yep. Alrighty, and also we just want to remind you, or whatever you're listening to us on is fine. However, we are also on Audio Boom. They are what we use to produce this fine podcast here. We're also on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes Radio, TuneIn Radio, and wherever you find your podcasts. So go ahead and give us a listen in those places. But that is the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, brothers.
Brothers. Brothers.
Ha ha ha.